Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is Monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Good evening, dear listeners. I'm back in my show again, since I was absent for more than a month for many reasons. And one of the reasons, and maybe the main one, was my trip to Australia. I was invited over there by the Serbian church community, basically from Sydney, but also from Melbourne and Brisbane. There was a series of lectures given mostly in the church halls, or anywhere else where it was convenient for our pious Serbs over there. And most of the lectures basically were given in Serbian, of course, but three of them were given in English. The first one, and the one that we are going to listen tonight, was a speech given Monday, 22nd of December 2014 in Melbourne, in Greek Orthodox Church of St. Eustatius. The lecture was in the very building of the church, and it was a pretty large church in Melbourne, in Greek community, and there was about 200 people, mostly Australian-born Greeks, Russians, Arabs from Antiochian Orthodox Church, and there was other people coming from all over. And interesting that there was maybe about 20 people from Orient, people from Far East. I think they were from Vietnam or something like that. I'm not really good in distinguishing those people from Far East, whether they were Japanese or Chinese or whatever. And that was very interesting for me. So I think that this lecture was pretty successful. My English is so-so, but I think they could understand, and I managed to say what I wanted to say. And of course, you will hear it yourself in tonight's show. So it was given 22nd of December 2014 in Melbourne, Australia. I hope you will enjoy. So that will be everything for tonight. And two next shows will be also my lectures given in Australia. The second one is going to be the lecture given in Russian Orthodox Youth Retreat. It was the Convent of the Mother of God, Kentland, New South Wales. It was Tuesday, December 30th. And the third one is going to be speech given in Sydney. It was January the 4th. in the Church of St. Lazarus in Alexandria, Sydney. So hopefully after those three recorded teachings, I will continue with my talks about my life and everything else. So thank you and good night.
One more thing, dear listeners. Considering the length of this speech of mine, I have decided to divide it in two parts. One part we will listen right now, and the second part we will broadcast next Friday. So thanks and have a pleasant evening. Which we start in this life, which is given to us as a battlefield, grounds for training, for death. It's not given to us for crazy fun, as we were a few days ago on Saturday night. We went out, and you could see on the streets crazy, frenetic young people drinking like mad and shouting with the fullness of their lungs, because they need to feel that they are alive, because they live prolonged death. So they need to get drunk, to go to the pub, and to shout all night. So we went for dinner. I just couldn't stand this noise. And I was looking, I couldn't believe that why they were shouting. It was not yesterday, it was a few days ago. It was very, very nice when we were in this Greek restaurant. But the other night, Saturday night, it was really crazy, and it was still Greek restaurant. But of course, they were not.
It was a Christmas party.
It was Christmas party. God have mercy. So you need to. They need to shout, they need to get drunk, they need to even to fight, just to feel that they're alive, to feel their bodies. Because we're so numb. We cannot feel our lives anymore. Anyway, so I felt this numbness, you know, I couldn't stand this life anymore. I had everything, but I missed everything. I didn't have anything. In New York City, I moved in Brooklyn, artistic part of Brooklyn called Williamsburg. It was a Puerto Rican part, Spanish Hispanics were over there, and they were also very, 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 very loud, extremely, and most of them were on cocaine, poor people. So when I moved there, I said to myself, I quit with my partner. I didn't have this partnership with this store anymore, because he acquainted with an American girl from California. She was in fashion business, extremely successful. She worked in fashion district, Midtown Manhattan. She, at that time, 20-something years ago, she used to make close to $200,000 a year, American dollars. And she was so possessive. At that time, we were still in debt. We, partner and myself, we had to live together, simply. And so they got married, and we for a certain period of time, of course we hired, we took a big apartment on Upper West Side in Manhattan, but she couldn't stand this. She was so possessive. She wanted to be only with her husband, and this is only also a sign of emptiness, you know. We need to possess everything, even another human being, you know. To us, it's an item that we go to supermarket and buy. So that's how we are acting with our lovers. We need them as mean to satisfy ourselves, not to satisfy him. And of course, it lasts short. And then we find ourselves in divorces. Because we are empty. When you have joy, when you want to live, when you are ready for life, when you love, then the greatest satisfaction is to make somebody else satisfied, to make him happy. But we lost this because we are not happy and we are trying to suck this energy from others, thinking that it is going to be forever like this. But it doesn't work. And we, those love affairs last so short. And even if it goes into the marriage, those marriages are terrible. They are just like business contracts, because it's so hard to live alone. And so we will have this kind of marriage, but of course we are going to have our lovers besides our marriage. American dream, which is actually American nightmare. So finally I made a decision, more or less consciously. Nobody asked me when I was born in this life, in this world. I have absolute right to take away my life, to finish with this. Because I have realized there is no meaning of life anymore, so I'm going to finish with this. Nobody asked me. I was tricked. I was deceived. I was deceived. And I have to mention that I was always longing for a spiritual fulfillment. Unfortunately, in my country, during the communist period, you could find books from every kind of religion and philosophy in this world, but not only from Orthodox Christianity. It was so carefully hidden from us. So of course, in this kind of life, and in Europe, definitely in 20th century, the best way, the change for real spirituality came from Far East. So, besides everything, we were hooked also on Far East meditations. I was in transcendental meditation with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, he was brought to Europe by the Beatles. I meditated for 7.5 years. I was with them, and I don't know how I saved my mind from this killing, brain killing, this terrible mantra that was an extreme tyrant of myself. I have to mention this. They say when you go to be initiated, they give you a mantra. It's a Hindu Sanskrit word that you repeat for hundreds and thousands and million times in your life, but you are not you mustn't know the meaning of this word. Can you imagine that? And you are not allowed to tell this mantra to anybody else. And I will tell you, of course, my mantra, which was Aima, Aima. And can you imagine in Greek language, Aima, Emma means blood. I was evoking blood for 7.5 years. It was the name of the demon which was given to me on my initiation. So with all these things, if I remember well, the transcendental meditation, so-called TM, but of course I was very much into Zen Buddhism, in Hinduism, in Buddhism. I thought that this is the supreme spiritual realm of human life, but of course it's absolutely opposite. So together with the whole thing, drugs and this Far East religions, I came to the point that my life didn't have any meaning anymore. And only accidentally, but there is no accident in this life, everything is foreseen, everything was foreseen already. I met a young man my age in New York. He was a Serbian from Belgrade, but we never met in Belgrade. He was an architect, and he went to Sydney. Like I went to New York, and he was not baptized Christian. He was coming from a communist family. And there, like all of us, we people from Balkans, we people from traditional Orthodox countries, we, even if we are not Orthodox, we carried this from our ancestors. We carried this this softness, in a way, naiveness, kind of goodness, but we Serbs are not good at all. But anyway, when we went there, we couldn't to form ourselves. We couldn't form ourselves in this way. So we went. He went in alcohol. He became an alcoholic in Sydney, very heavy one. And he even went in crime. I don't know what he did. He never told me. But he did some crime. Because of that, he had to leave Australia. But what happened to him? He met some Romanian people. He didn't even go to Serb with Serbs, because at that time, the same thing, it was in New York, there was a war in ex-Yugoslavia. So when we would go to Serbian church, there would only be a politics and brandy, Serbian brandy, rakija. So it was not for me. And it was the same thing was with my friend Darko. And he was on the verge of his existence, and there was this Romanian people that took him once, and they told him, please come with us one Sunday for the Holy Liturgy. We are also Christians, as your predecessors. And she said, okay, I have nothing to lose. So there he realized something in Holy Liturgy in Romanian Church of Sydney. And to make long story short, he got baptized over there, and he came as already as an Orthodox Christian in New York. And there was a party in New York one night with all those crazy, crazy looking friends of mine, artists, interesting people, but extremely spiritually poor. And we were all suffocating, actually, in New York. We were suffocating 24 hours a day, and we were dying. And in one moment, I had seen this person. He was not cool at all. He was strict, you know. He was so, even maybe a few months before that, I would say, oh, this guy is so boring. I have nothing with him. But at that time, I think I was ready to receive something. And I had seen this young man radiating with something that I needed so badly, and I didn't know what was that. But I was so attracted to him, like a magnet, like a sword magnet. But of course, I was decent enough not to ask him about his private life right away. But of course, we acquainted, I took his telephone number. So we met, and finally, after about maybe 15 days, I had enough courage when I went to his place to have a cup of tea, to ask him what does he perform in his life. I mean, of course, I thought that he found some supreme Far East technique to realize this serenity that he acquired. And of course, I forgot to say that this energy was kind of some kind of serenity, some kind of peacefulness, some kind of joy.
Clarity
of a person, and but to my great surprise, he didn't smoke anything, he didn't drink anything, he didn't sniff, snort anything. He was just clean, you know. And so when I asked him, Darko, what are you doing? I mean, what is your life philosophy? Because I was always looking for a philosophy of a life, for meaning of life. And I think, of course, he was a clever man, and maybe even God opened his mind to know what I'm looking for. And he said, well, maybe you're going to be disappointed, but I'm an Orthodox Christian. And he was right. I was extremely disappointed. I said, well, thank you. I had my tea and I went home. But of course, I was a snob, but not that big. And I said to myself, there is something there. I will go tomorrow, I will apologize for my this kind of attitude. And I went there, and again, I said, please forgive me. Just be more precise about this Orthodoxy. And although I was baptized as a child, my parents, my family was never communist, but still, we were a product of a communist system. My father was also so against communist system, but he was a product of this system. They killed God in ourselves. There was a sentence, I will kill God in you. That's what they were saying, especially Russian communists, and then, of course, it came to us. And God was killed in us. Of course, we were killed, not God. He told me, then he realized that now I'm serious, and he told me a little bit about our faith. But then he told me, I'm not a theologian, and I'm new in this. I will give you a few books. I hope we have enough time, a little bit more. And he gave me a book from Neil Sorsky, Holy Neil Sorsky. He was a Russian monk from, 14th century, who spent more than 20 years in Mount Athos, Greece, Holy Mountain. And there he was taught by Greek monks, Holy Fathers from the Holy Mountain, mostly from Greeks, about this special way of life, which is called hesychasm. Hesychasmos, is it how do you say in Greek? It comes from Greek word hesychia, which means quietness. It is, of course, not only just being quiet or silent, but it is in connection with prayer. Because only to be silent and quiet in this world leads you to losing your mind. I mean, if you just go to retreat somewhere, but without a special way how to do this, it can just blow your mind out. Because only then you are faced with this world and with the demons and with the passions that you acquired during the life. But if you have enough time, and I'm coming back to the beginning of this speech, when you have extra time and if you know how to use it, then it's extremely, extremely important and beneficial for you. And this is this sacred science of Orthodox monasticism. It is an eye apple of the Orthodoxy called hesychasm, which is actually a direct contact with the creator of the universe. And to tell you in the beginning, it is not given only to monks. Everybody can have a certain little part of hesychasm in his life, even in New York, even in Melbourne, everywhere. It only depends on our will and on our wish to find true meaning of our lives and to be integral personalities, to have joy of life. So this Neil Sorsky, he acquired this, he went back to Russia, he was sent by Greek fathers to spread this life-saving science and art, and everything is art above art and science above all sciences, and more than that, because you make a scientific project of yourself and you make an art piece of yourself, of your soul, when you acquire the spirit of the creator of the universe. You're just plugged in the energy of the universe. And it is not in Far East techniques, as they claim. It is in the most spiritual and most sublime religion, philosophy, call it as you want, or just life. It is original Christianity. We were just forced to call it orthodoxy, because there were a lot of false Christianities in the past. But it is original Christianity. So that's why it was spread to Russia, it came to all Slavs, Serbs as well. And of course, when I was reading this book, I had realized it was a very short book. It was telling us what is soul, what is passion, what is demon, what is joy, and how to protect yourself from it. And there is a special activity called prayer. And I have found myself for the first time in my life to pray. And I just switched. I just expelled my mantra. As I said, it was easy to me to plunge into myself. I learned it in more than 7 years of plunging into my inner being through meditation. So I just changed. I just expelled from myself mantra and put in myself Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Or shorter version, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Kyrie Isu Christe eleisona, in Greek. Gospode Isuse Hrista, Sine Božije, pomiluj me grešnog. And in Brooklyn, 1989, in the solitude of my apartment, with the madness of New York around me, I came to the point, okay, I can always commit a suicide and it will be fine, there is nothing after life, I will just fall asleep. But before that, I will try this thing with the prayer. And that night in Brooklyn, New York, the heavens opened. Of course, not like in movies. It opened, my heavens opened to my soul. And I can realize what is God. As St. Isaac the Syrian says, what is the feeling of God? And exactly that I have experienced. The feeling, when you say, I feel God, I feel, I know Him, what does it mean? It is constituted out of two feelings. One feeling is feeling of supreme love. But you are just filled with love. And what is more important in our lives than love? Nothing. You just feel extremely filled with love, but you are stunned, you know, you're surprised, because there is no other person that you can hug. I mean, that's the way that how we feel. Or even if we look at our child or our loving person, we feel love. But there, in the darkness of my apartment in New York, there was nobody else. But I was so filled with love, and I was bursting out of it. And the second feeling is feeling of immortality. You absolutely feel that you are immortal. You feel this fire, this flame, this energy of soul, of life, energy of life that burns in you, and it will never stop. It is just, you cannot just extinguish it. And from that time on, I entered a special state of mind which is called repentance. In Greek, metanoia, or metanoia, I don't know how you pronounce that, which is called a complete transfiguration of your mind. But I like to actually also to call it waking up. because we are in some kind of a poisonous slumber. We are in some kind of mist that we cannot see actually what are we doing, where do we live, where do we go. And these moments could be very, very, very strong, very intense. You can, in those moments, you are facing your whole life and you, no more curtains, no more filters. You see it clearly where you were. And what is it all about, actually, as a matter of fact, in life? And those moments could be very, very, very hard. Holy fathers would really try to. I don't want to sound this morbid, but they would like to kill themselves out of great regret where they were. With what they made love, because we are making love with a lot of things in this life. We are looking for love everywhere, but it's a prostitution. We fornicate with everything, because real life is actually a real love is making love with the creator of the universe. This is the real love, and out of this love all other loves go out, emanate. And this repentance lasted for about 2 years, and of course, I forgot about suicide, and I said, thank God that I found what I have found. And okay, because I'm a little too long, I have decided, maybe 2 months I was thinking what I'm going to do in my life. But in about 2 months, I made a decision. I want to plunge in this love completely. I only need this in my life, which is not, of course, the case for everybody. And this is monasticism, monastic life. But the thing is that we can acquire the gift of the Holy Spirit and a little part of catechism in our everyday life, wherever we live, whatever kind of life do we live. And so I went to, because I didn't have documents, I was just an immigrant in the United States. I spent 2 years in a monastery in Pennsylvania. Then I finally managed to acquire documents. I went to Mount Athos, spent a month in Mount Athos. I went to Serbian monastery of Hilandar, and as I said, in those years, a Hilandar is always a mirror that we look. That we Serbs are looking ourselves. And at that time, it was not a very good mirror. There was war there, and we were in this madness of war. We were taking it. We were fighting, killing, trying to defend our people. We were accused that we are the worst people in the world, that we are cannibals, that we are somebody that has to be determined and unforgiving, especially the United States, where I used to live, that there was a great media campaign. Even I myself, during my life in New York, I said, listening to all this madness from media, I was ready to say, really, these Serbs are the worst people in the world. How it was so strong brainwashing. And so what I found in Hilandar was only politics, warriors coming from the war area, no prayer, no spirit. Now, thank God, it's completely different. So I went to Greek monastery of Philotheo, because I met a great elder, Ephrem, who is in Arizona today. I met him in New York. He saved my life, only with the touch of his holy hand. Then I realized what does it mean to be a carrier of the Spirit. Really, what is a holy man? Holy man is a person who, through great sacrifice and through a lot of many years of cleansing, he is acquiring the Spirit of the Creator of the universe, Holy Spirit. And first of all, he is healing himself. Then, when he is healed, then he is progressing, and then he acquires perfection. And through this perfection, he can help others. He can heal others. And he healed me. He helped me greatly. This is a topic for whole, complete, new lecture. But I met him there, but still, my... Nostalgia for my homeland was great, and I'm leaving Holy Mountain with a great pain in my heart, because I'm still an Athanite monk, although I was there only 1 month, because it is a paradise in the world. It is a monastic republic in Greece, in Holy Land of Greece, that I will always be grateful. So I'm leaving Holy Mountain, going back to Kosovo, Serbia, which will become another battlefield in the future, bloody one. Being there 12 years, but always longing for solitude. Because in solitude, you really are able completely to surround yourself, to surrender yourself to Holy God, and to get in full touch with His love that He's always waiting to give us. I'm spending there 5 years. I'm acquiring a blessing. I'm receiving a blessing for my bishop. After 15 years living in a cenobitic way of life, going in a mountain, in a desert, as we say desert, but it's not like a Sahara, it's a deserted place. It is a wilderness. It is a triangle between Kosovo, Montenegro, and Serbia. There I'm spending 5 years in the mountain, living completely alone, with a terrible temptations, and with a most beautiful moment in my life, being saturated with the Spirit of God, because God is waiting for us. He doesn't want to do this by force. He's waiting for our move. We have to make first move. We must not hesitate. We never have to think that He's somewhere far away, like Aristotle says, and many, many others who were going after Aristotle. Unfortunately, the Western Church, this kind of rationality in Christianity, He's always there, and I'm fondly remembering these days, the hardest days of my life, because the evil spirit, the spirits of darkness, they don't like when somebody is going away from the community, trying to give himself up completely to the Lord in great suffering, in great heaviness and fire of temptations and passions and assaults from the spirits of darkness. Of course, it was not like in the lives of the saints, because God knows that I was not that strong and that big, of course. I was just a little small monk. But He gave me temptations which were fit for me. And believe me, they were strong enough. But through those temptations, through hardships, through spiritual feats, we are cleansing, we are cleaning ourselves. It cannot be done differently. It can be performed everywhere. Of course, living in Sydney or in Melbourne, we cannot perform this the same way like on Mount Athos. But God knows what is our measure, and that's what He is expecting from us. And this way, we are going to be fulfilled spiritually. We are not going to need to go out and get drunk as pigs, or to take drugs, or to make love with first person that you meet in the street or in the bar. You are going to have supreme love in yourself, and through this you will have open eyes to realize whose person is right for you. Because so often young people come to me in the Holy Monastery of Ostrog asking me, how can I recognize the right person for me? I said, don't bother. You yourself you're not ever going to be able to recognize. Just leave it to the Lord. He knows the best. Just give up yourself in a little so-called prayer room. And through this prayer room, in the morning and in the evening, we are filling ourselves, we are recharging ourselves like a mobile phone. We are getting power again, and we are acquiring open, clear sights to realize which girl is good for me, which company is good for me, which business is good for me. Of course, we are not going to avoid temptations, but we are going to go through them as those ships who break the ice. So, but of course, I was not strong enough to remain forever, for all my life. That was my intention, to live in desert. God sends, and at that time I thought it is His disappointment with me. But only after several years I realized that it was His plan. He gave me a joint sickness, rheumatism. So I couldn't make my bread anymore. I was so stiff and painful, my joints. And of course, when you live in desert, when you cannot make your own bread, it means it's finished. So I was thinking to going to Greece or to Arizona to be close to fathers and of course to dry and warm weather. But then I met an abbot from a monastery in Montenegro, which is also a southern part of Europe. And I said, well, why should I go somewhere around? It is my people, my language. Although a lot of Montenegrins today say, oh, we are not Serbs, we are something else, I don't know what. Coming from Mars. So I'm coming to Budva, a town, seacoast town in Montenegro, but didn't open. And it opened finally in the monastery of Ostrog, which is some kind of extremely frequently visited monastery. A lot of people together, I mean the pilgrims and as well tourists are coming there. So when I talked to one nun that I became friend with, she was there, and because I came in a very bad health, especially I was so afraid that I disappointed God up there in my mountain, that I didn't lead monastic life as it should be. So that's why I thought He expelled me from the mountain, because I was bad monk, I was bad hermit, I was not good hermit enough. But since He didn't open to me on the seaside, I just called her and I said, sister, I'm leaving Montenegro, just didn't open, I'm going back to my mountain. She said, don't be crazy, you're going to die there. I said, I don't know what. And she called Monastery of Ostrog, and I said, no way, after the desert, to go there where there is hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, all the time I said, this is not for me. But you never know what is good for you. Sometimes something looks absurd, absolutely unlogical. But God knows what is good for us. We just have to surrender ourselves to Him. And so I'm coming to the end of this talk of mine. So now what is happening? I found myself in the monastery of Ostrog, and I was always very much interested in psychiatry, although I finished dentistry. But we have all medical exams except gynecology. And I was always very much into psychiatry. I was always wondering, what is human mind? What is human soul? I was always aware that this is not, that myself is not only blood and bones and flesh. There is something much more important. That's why I went to Far East meditations, but it was extremely dangerous and false way. So I was studying psychiatry, And I came to conclusion that today's psychiatry is absolutely wrong. It went in a completely wrong way, starting with Sigmund Freud and Carl Gustav Jung, finally after the French Revolution, where Western civilization finally went straight down like this, failing completely everything, even though we can see outside beauty, wealth, everything. But inside, great spiritual poverty and hatred. Hatred. I was traveling with this extremely high-developed airplane, and whatever we see that society works to prepare everything to be to help us, to help our lives, everything to be for easy life. You know, they're thinking about medicine and cars. Now you, in cars you have, if there is somebody standing beside you, I saw this first time, when you put a blinker, then it doesn't blink if there is a car behind you. And all these things. But besides that, the civilization also works much harder how to kill, how to develop perfect weapon to kill as much people as it is possible. So we live in a civilization of rape. We have been raped all the time from all over. And since I have realized this, and since I went through my own therapy, psychotherapy, I have realized that the supreme psychotherapy is Orthodox Christianity, and the supreme psychotherapist is actually Son of God, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christ. And since I helped myself greatly through Orthodox Christianity, since I have found meaning of life, joy of life, through happiness, I have realized, and I have realized this for the first moment when I started to invoke Jesus' name in my apartment in Brooklyn. I felt therapy. I entered the process of healing of myself. So that's why I have written this book. Very soon I was invited to give lectures, and that's how it all started. In the very beginning, I was so scared, and I was so hesitating. What I'm doing? I'm a monk. When I left the world 25 years ago, I thought never to see it again. I wanted to go to the desert and leave my bones over there. But God's plan was different. And I don't know if I'm going to answer to His plan, but I'm trying to do my best. And now I live in the monastery of Ostrov, as His Grace Bishop Irenaeus says. I'm also a painter. I have this luck to have an old carpentry shop building a little bit aside of the whole shuffle. Crowd, the crowd of the people that come in congestion. I have this. I have an opportunity to have a nice painting studio to paint my icons, and I'm also have this courage, this boldness to a little bit to go away of strict Byzantine icons that I still do, but I'm trying to make a synthesis between modern art and Orthodox art, to show to this world that we are not narrow, that there is a place in Orthodoxy for everything. And I have a painting studio, but more and more this painting studio becomes a clinic for people who are listening to these stories of mine, and more, mostly young people are coming there asking for meaning of life, and especially for help for drug addiction and all kind of mental disturbances. Usually they go to a psychiatrist, they get hooked on psychoactive drugs, they do nothing, they cannot help themselves, anxiety is there, schizophrenia is there, depression is there. But only what we do is we get hooked on another legal drug. So now what I'm doing is trying to help people with supreme psychotherapy, which is called also Christianity, which is called catechism. I'm trying to tell them that it's no big deal. As psychiatrists tell them, they say, you are finished for your whole life. You have to take drugs. Of course, the pharmaceutical industry has to live from something, and it lives very good. So what I'm doing, I'm trying to tell them, first of all, that most of mental diseases are actually demon possessions. Of course, science doesn't accept this. But too bad for them. I'm saying if medicine would accept this, the mental clinics, clinics for mental ill people would be at least half emptier. So I'm trying to tell them that they have to be aware they are not sick. Only a small percentage of brain diseases are physiological. It's disturbance of these transmitters, chemical transmitters in the brain. Mostly it is demonical attack. They are bodiless creatures, minds, that have approach to our central nervous system, and they can give us all these thoughts, hallucinations, ideas, feelings, and we are sure that it comes from us. And psychiatrists think it's a brain disturbance or chemicals. It's not. First we have to know this, and to stay firmly, and to say, I know where does it come from, and now I'm going to fight it. And you, bloody bastard, who is my tyrant, I'm going to fight you. You're not going to torture me anymore. And I know how to do that. I'm going to do that with great ally. And now, then, when somebody realizes this, that he's actually under the attack, and he just only has to develop a defense system, then it's easier. Then I prescribe a spiritual therapy. Of course, we cannot take away immediately drugs, antidepressants, antipsychotics, sedatives, because we are already hooked on it. Our organism is full of it. It needs it. So slowly we introduce spiritual therapy with a prayer, and slowly taking out chemicals. It is the same thing with narcotics and with all other passions. So it's a process of about 3 years. When you get a very concrete prayer rule, which you perform at least half an hour in the morning and half an hour in the evening, and frequently, of course, going to Holy Liturgy, confessing yourself, taking communion, and performing your spiritual therapy, which is also called catharsis, catharsa, cleaning yourself, cleansing, then in about 3 years. So I'm telling them, do not be naive to think that there is a pill. Magic pill that it will save you. It is a process, it is a fight, it's a struggle. But it's a struggle with meaning. But of course, in these 3 years, we realize that we progress, that we are feeling better and better. And I see this now, you know, with a certain young man which comes with a problem this or problem that, change, transfiguration in his face. The joy of life is coming back. So it is absolute true that we Orthodox Christians have a clue for this civilization. Hesychasm. Not the one that you go to desert. But you just have to plug yourself in into the source of energy, which is living God. And the Orthodox Christianity has the fullness of it. And if we want to save ourselves and to be complete personalities in this life, and to be clean enough when we go in another world, to be like clear window pane, so that this ray of the Holy Spirit can go through us, we are going to perform this. Otherwise, we are going to suffer greatly. And it is a great question, how are we going to finish this course of our, this run of this life, and where are we going to find, and how are we going to find ourselves when this body goes away, and as I said, the soul stays alive. So this is what I'm doing right now, what I'm trying to do over there. So, and of course, first 20 years I was reading only Holy Fathers. I was working on myself, because as it says in Gospels, physician, heal yourself first. And I'm not a physician, I'm just trying to spread something that happens to me. But still, I couldn't do this for first 20 years. We need 3 years to recover, but then we need between 15 and 20 years to reach actually a level that we can dare to help others. And of course it depends how filthy did we live before. And of course, since I was reading only Holy Fathers, and I was trying to completely learn the science and the art of Orthodox Christianity, in the last 3 or 4 years now I'm reading a lot Western thinkers from Western part of the world, because I know the thought of Far East. And I'm realizing that the most prominent thinkers of Western world were those who called themselves existentialists. Existentialism. Friedrich Nietzsche, Karl Jaspers, Heidegger, Gabriel Marcel, and many others, who realized that classical philosophy from ancient Greeks through Spinoza, Kant, and German idealism, it is absolutely wrong way. And since they realized this, but they're all Christians, either Roman Catholics or Protestants, somehow they're not able just to go back a little bit, because they went deep into the darkness. They just have to go back a little bit where the light is. But what they do, they go more and more and more deep into the dark forest, instead of just going back a little bit where the light is. And light is in the beginning. And we kept the clarity of the original Christian faith. So those poor great minds of this Western world, Martin Heidegger, but you know, moral cripples, Martin Heidegger, the one who is, and Friedrich Nietzsche, they were heavy Nazis. So without God, with just intelligence, you become demon. There is no love. And so they said, we are going to find our own way, existentialist way. And there is a great movement, especially in the first half of the 20th century, called existentialism. But they're wrong as well, because the only existentialism is Orthodox Christian existentialism. So I'm trying to promote supreme psychotherapy, which is also Christian psychotherapy, and supreme existentialism, which is also Christian existentialism. Therapy and how to stay healthy and how to exist. The only way is through Son of God, in Orthodox Church, in Holy Liturgy, and with these two wings, we can soar above this sad planet, full of poisonous demons that they are trying to grasp us. One wing is a liturgical life, and another wing is our private prayer rule in our homes, which is acquired with great discernment. We should do exactly which is optimal to us, not more than that, not less than that. And I believe everybody of us can sacrifice half an hour of us in the morning to have blessed day, and half an hour in the evening to have blessed night. And this prayer rule consists out of Holy Gospel, Psalter, Jesus prayer, and prayers from the prayer book, morning and evening prayers, which consists from prayers from Holy Fathers. This way, with these two wings, we can soar above this earth, being here and being healthy and sound. Thank you a lot. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Father Arsenios, and I thank each and every one of you beloved for coming here this evening, your patience, your endurance, your enthusiasm, and the way that you listened and followed was truly and is admirable indeed. Consider this to be like a monastic feature film, if you will. But anyway, I don't know if anybody would have any questions to ask Father Arsenios. I know that it's been a long evening indeed, and he's actually covered much within his own remarks. I must say, and forgive me for intruding on your territory slightly, but having had Father Alexander Schmemann as my own father confessor, he had a practice during Great Lent in which he gave us a sort of quick fix into hesychasm and brutally hurtled us into contemplative light and life in the beginning of Great Lent. The first 3 days of Great Lent, he would not let anybody speak to anybody, neither in our rooms, neither amongst ourselves in public. Sheer torture. The first thing you do is you want to laugh and you look at somebody because you can't talk, so everybody has their heads down. But by the third day, it makes a lot of good sense. And then that which goes against the grain of the contemporary world, he unplugged the television, and nobody dared plug it back in for all of Great Lent. And then it came to the point where even when we were in our automobiles, we were so afraid to turn on the radio during Great Lent. And that small lesson for the duration of academic studies at St. Vladimir's once a year during Great Lent left a deep impact on our souls, and it was what helped carry me through to understand that yes, hesychasm is real, it does exist, and it can be practiced. This was the quick, intensive course in the modern world towards hesychasm, but it does work. Thank you, Father Arsenios, for sharing your life, a life that was filled with pain, a life that was filled also with joy, and I think we would all agree, a life which is truly transfigured, one which he offers to each and every one of us so that we can ourselves accomplish that sort of transfiguration. I don't know if people have any questions, if you'd like to ask something, or have most of your questions been answered this evening.
I think so.
I think everybody's questions have been well answered in advance. Now it's a matter of being able to take what we've garnered this evening and apply it to our lives. And I think everybody can do it. A good way to prepare ourselves for the great feast of the Nativity of Christ. So if you don't have any questions, your grace, beloved Father Arsenios, and dear and beloved friends, I wish you a very blessed feast of the Nativity of Christ. Καλά Χριστούγεννα, χρόνια σας πολλά, σρέτσαν οι Βλαγωστόδες Βόλιτς, οι Βόλιτσιν Πάθηκε, God bless you and keep you well during this Christmas time. Many years to you.
Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amphilochia.